Hello everybody, my name is Atty Grand. I'm going to talk to you today about the technical side of the Glasgow Digital Interface Explorer. I became aware of this project a few years ago and lurked on the sidelines for a while. However, midway through last year, I got restless and decided to produce a small batch of RevC1 boards for myself and the community. I've been hooked since and I'm now quite involved in the project. You may have seen me talking about it on Twitter or streaming with it on Twitch. I'm joined today by Peter or Esden from 1bit², who will talk later. Glasgow is created by White Quark, who takes care of most of the maintenance and support responsibilities. If you find Glasgow or any of White Quark's other projects useful, please consider supporting her on Patreon. In the talk today, we'll cover the basic concept and what can I do aspect. We'll look at the front end and connectivity options between Glasgow and devices. We'll have a look at the interfaces between the software, that's Python on the PC, and the gateway, which is nMIGIN on the FPGA. We'll look at the anatomy of an applet, focusing in on the UART. We'll take a deep dive into the byte stream data path, and we'll have a quick look at the future plans for the project before I hand over to Peter, who will talk about the crowd supply campaign and the DFM work he's been coordinating. Finally, we'll answer any questions from the audience. If you've had a look at a board, you'll likely have seen Nono Hannah of Repeticure on the back. Her quote can be read in English as, "Glasgow can do anything, Glasgow can be anything." And this really emphasises the purpose of this project. One of the major benefits is that we can deal with non-standard hard real-time signalling. Signals are generated and handled in the FPGA, which means there's no need to worry about software or interrupts interfering with your waveform. There's no need to misuse peripherals like SPI or I2S either. For example, you can connect to a string of RGB LEDs like WS2812, and you can keep a Hub 75 panel refreshed. We've currently got a 3-bit output with a 64 by 64 pixel frame buffer, though this is work in progress and there are improvements to come. You can connect a speaker directly to Glasgow, push audio samples over USB, and the gateway implements a Sigma Delta DAC, which effectively produces a pulse density modulation output. This sounds surprisingly good with zero extra components. JTAG, SPI and I2C interfaces are all supported, and you can even produce a VGA test pattern. You can capture single frames from parallel RGB interfaces, and you can detect unknown JTAG pinouts. You can even interface with a UART with an unknown voltage and unknown baud rate. I really encourage you to take a look at the long list of applets in the GitHub repo. We can probably connect with many unknown or proprietary interfaces. Just connect it up and write an applet. Analog or interfaces that require a PHY are more difficult, but they're not necessarily impossible. For example, I'm currently working on a CAN add-on module. Considerable effort and design work has gone in to ensure that this is a simple install and setup procedure, followed by a robust and reliable and trustworthy tool. All you do is run a few commands, plug it in, and go. Linux is supported very well out of the box, and Windows support exists and is maturing. I believe White Quark has even had this running on an Android phone, though that's not a supported platform. There's no need to know or learn any Python or nMIGIN, it's useful as it stands. However, if you want to dive in, go for it. Tweak or change the existing applets, or write your own. There's a great and growing community for support and discussion. You can easily connect to many digital interfaces, and the applet library is large and growing. We have a planned structure for contributions from the community. We expect good and tested applets to be in tree, with OK untested community contributions in a separate repository. We will also have the ability to handle private applets in your own private trees as well. Glasgow uses the open source FPGA toolchain, which is very quick. You'll rarely find yourself waiting a significant time for the gateway to build. To give you a getting started example, you can connect an SCD30, which is a CO2 temperature and humidity sensor with only 4 wires to Glasgow. You can run the applet and immediately get sensor readings. If you tweak the command line slightly, you can record those sensor readings into InfluxDB. If you connect that to Grafana, you can then find yourself going from zero to graphs in less than 5 minutes. InfluxDB and other logging options are built into Glasgow and they come for free. There are 16 I/O pins which are arranged into 2 ports, each of 8 pins. You can power an interface with many things without any additional circuitry. It's designed for carefree hookup, meaning that accidents are okay. Glasgow effectively converts a hardware problem into a software problem. Don't have to worry about shorts, and you don't worry about blowing up the hardware. A major amount of effort has gone into making it reliable, and you should never find yourself wondering, do I trust Glasgow right now? We've all been there with other tools, and it's not a great place to be. Every pin has a bidirectional buffer and level shifter, and can handle signals up to about 100 MHz at 1.8 volts. The frequency depends on the translation voltage. Each pin has a 10K pull-up, pull-down or no-pull resistor, which is connected to a tri-state buffer. Every single pin has ESD protection and can tolerate an infinite short circuit. This front end permits clever things like open drain with no external components. The onboard 10K resistors permit generic termination, but these can be easily modified with an axial resistor using the vias provided to place it in parallel. For example, to increase the pull-up strength, you can add a 3.1K resistor in parallel with the onboard 10K to get approximately 2.4 kilo-ohm of pull-up, which is ideal for a strong I2C pull-up. Each port, then, as a group, has the ability to supply a 1.8 to 5 volt power at up to 150 milliamps, which again supports infinite short circuit. All of the IOs are translated to the port's voltage. We can measure voltages up to 36 volts, and with this monitor, you can then power off the port if the device under test turns off or drops out of tolerance. This can protect the device under test and avoids backpowering. There's also a voltage mirror mode which allows you to take a reading at startup and mirror that to the output. There's current sense and overcurrent protection as well, again to protect the device under test. There are two interfaces available between the Python and the gateway. The first is the byte stream. From the developer's point of view, this looks like a socket in Python and a FIFO in NMIGEN. Low performance is easy to use and ready to go. However, high performance is fiddly and needs careful handling. We'll cover that more later. Future Glasgow revisions are expected to support Ethernet. The protocol should adapt easily. The second interface is registers, and these provide configuration and feedback within the applet's components. They behave just like peripheral configuration registers in a micro. Only one side can write, and this is a build time decision. For example, the UART uses it to configure the bit time, or the baud rate, where the PC writes to the register, and it also uses it to retrieve the receive error count back, where the FPGA writes to the register. Looking at the anatomy of an applet, there are largely three phases. The build phase constructs and builds the gateway. The run phase connects the gateway in the FPGA to the Python. And the interact phase presents the applet to the outside world. Not all applets have an interact phase. For example, the VGA is just a test pattern generator, so it produces that test pattern on the output and then the application quits, leaving the test pattern going. Some things will require a rebuild. Any changes to the build time command line arguments or the gateway sources will cause a rebuild. The build time command line arguments can significantly affect the generated gateway. Any run or interact phase command line arguments do not cause a rebuild. For example, if you're using a baud rate of greater than 9600 with a UART, then there's no rebuild required even if you change that baud rate. Focusing in on an example applet, the UART has some really neat features. With auto baud detection, the receive side locks onto the shortest bit time it sees, it reports this to the user, and the transmit side follows that baud rate as well. It also provides one of three interfaces, for example TTY, which is using this terminal standard in and standard out, PTY, which allows other applications like PicoCom or Minicom to make use of this UART, as well as Socket, which acts like a terminal server, allowing applications like Netcat or other simple socket clients to use this UART as well. The gateway constructed during the build phase covers everything on the right-hand side. The FPGA and Python are linked together during the run phase, and the interface is exposed to the wider world during the interact phase. That's one of the three components on the left, depending on the command line arguments. The gateway sources are in the applet file and potentially in other imported modules as well. Common blocks are abstracted away, for example, the UART. Changes to sources may trigger a rebuild of the gateway. Even so, as mentioned, the build times are measured in seconds. Python code can be changed without any rebuild. For example, if you're working on a socket, then you can do that with no problems. Registers can be changed without a rebuild as well, and they are accessible from Python at runtime. For example, a change in baud rate will not require a rebuild. Build arguments can significantly alter the gateway. If you don't want transmit capabilities, then don't build them. Remove those transmit components. Alternatively, if you want to use a baud rate below 9600 baud, then it's simple to rebuild with a wider counter that can facilitate those longer bit times. Taking a deep dive now into the byte stream. The simple and low bandwidth applications don't need to care and they can use the FIFOs in ignorance. This is ideal for things like I2C. High bandwidth or streaming applications, however, need to take care on the buffer management. Lots of the issues are just taken care of for you. However, I believe there's one major edge case which is still present as a hidden trap for users. It's not obvious, it has a deep technical explanation, but hopefully the cause and the details below will become more apparent soon. Glasgow can do about 42 megabytes per second with careful handling, but without this care, a 150k bytes per second might be too much and cause buffers to overflow. We're going to expand on those magic blocks shown below. Even this diagram is simplified. All of the kernel activities and buffering are omitted as out of control and out of scope. Python is reasonably well behaved, using one async IO task for each of transmit, receive, FIFO, and it's on a PC, so it has plenty of memory. The USB link and the FX2 FPGA crossbar are more complex, and we'll cover this now. First up's the USB link. As you probably know, USB is entirely under the host's control. Devices may only speak if spoken to, meaning that if a device has lots to say, then sending a partial packet is effectively saying, I'm done. You won't get attention again for a while and you lose out on the bandwidth. If you have lots to say, then aim to fill every packet you can. In this case, that's 512 bytes. Providing a full packet effectively says, I have more to say, and this way the host will probably come back to you again and ask you if you have more data. With the defaults, you'll send small packets